I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars, and this week, casual jackets. Now, look, listen, look, guys, I wanted to start by saying thank you to a chap called Ian Dealey, who is a listener and who pops up on our respective Twitter feeds quite a lot.
He does.
Chat, and
he's a good guy.
He's a good guy, and he's a particularly good guy because last week's show was rescued from being deeply irritating by Ian. Ian is a professional audio producer for the BBC, and so when I discovered that I'd cocked up last week because I used an adapter thing to record through, plugged the mic into an adapter so I could have power and mic in the same, because I've got one of those solo anus Macs that
that doesn't have any outputs for inputs for anything.
Yeah, but it has an adapter, so I plugged that in. But I think it was the adapter that caused this really annoying high pitched whine.
Oh,
on the whole recording.
You didn't tell me this.
No, I thought it best to keep it from you because it was my fuck up, and I was like, I think I can fix it. So I started blithering about in the settings trying to get rid of it, and I sort of did a bit, but to do it I had sort of fairly, as audio engineers like Ian would probably call, a sort of fairly aggressive EQ on it, which makes everything sound a bit odd. And so I, as Americans would say, reached out to Ian, knowing what he does for a living, and went, is there any way that you would you give me some advice on how to sort this? And he went, send me the raw recording and I'll run it through some, you know, proper hardcore gear,
technology,
whatever it is, and he did, and he sent it back to me, and it's like magic.
Really?
It's just gone. Well, the high pitched thing is gone, and I do not know how he did it, but thank you, Ian, because I was thinking, we're going to get complaints. People are not going to enjoy this because it's just enough to just be a bit annoying.
Ian, he's a very, very good lad, actually, Ian Dealey. So thank you, Ian. He's also, I think he's a fan of a lot of old TOS cars as well. So I think he does DM me occasionally about having a soft spot for a Rover Metro or some British Leyland thing. Rover 75, I think it's got a disease like you and I, where he kind of has a bit of a thing for Rover 75. So yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, that's
sweet.
Sweet guy.
Listen guys. Guys, welcome to the channel. I've just bought this car. It's absolutely perfect. Suspension's perfect. Really good ride quality. So tell me, what suspension shall I put on it?
Now, actually, funny enough, talking of Ian Dealey, I was then chatting with Ian on Messenger through Twitter, and I mentioned something that that you and I had been discussing on WhatsApp, which I think started with you sending me some mad spin-off of Harry's Garage.
Oh, no. Was this a late-night WhatsApp? I can't remember. Was it?
It might have been. Yeah. Well, almost inevitably it was, wasn't it? But I can't remember how it started. Hang on. I'm going to look it up.
I'm going to scroll back through the... Is this the one where you sent me that link to Farmers Weekly News?
Oh, no. It predates that. No, I found it here. You just sent me a single WhatsApp at 10:04 at night.
Yeah, of course.
It just said Harry's Garage.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Which I suggested should be Harry's Gorge, which sounds like it's something even worse. But then I'm just going to read out your next message, which for some reason didn't come through until 10:43, so you're really burning into the night now with this train of thought. You just wrote, this time on Harry's Garage, I've got 167 Vauxhall Mockers in the barn because they're registered and unsold, and I'm earning £11 a day on each one. I don't even know where you're going with that.
It's the tale of a land-owning entrepreneurial YouTuber.
I see.
But I was thinking, Harry Metcalf off of Harry's Garage, lovely guy, good channel. I thought, well, he doesn't miss a trick when it comes to maybe, you know, earning a few bob. Because he's a farmer, you know, they're bred that way. And he thought, well, you know, you know, manufacturers, they pre-register all those cars just to get the numbers up so it looks like they've sold more than they have. And then they go, oh, bollocks, we've got 400 of the same car in the same spec. Let's just put it in a marshy field. And, well, Harry could be like, oh, I've just probably got a spare barn. You know, back a few tractors out. They can sit out in the drizzle for 6 weeks. 11 quid per car. Got a couple of C-Tech battery monitors. Just hook those bad boys up. Job done.
What weirds me out about that is that the specificity of 11 quid a car. Is this something like, do you know that's what people get for that? Or is that just because it sounds more plausible than £10?
I'm not saying. I have sources. I know people that have earned a hearty living from, I don't know, liquidated even businesses. And all the company cars go back and somebody has to look after them and they all have to be defleeted or whatever. And per head, if you've got a bit of space, sometimes an old World War airstrip, you can earn quite a lot of money from cars that nobody wants to buy yet.
So, I bet you can, yeah.
In fact, that's... that's my dream. So I've told you, one of my pipe dreams is to own a very simple car park. That doesn't have any overheads at all. I don't want it to be posh because I don't want overheads. So it's just simply a square of compacted granite gravel.
Okay,
that's it. And there might be a small kiosk, but there probably isn't because I don't want the hassle of it.
Are you going markings or no markings?
I'm going to go no markings. I might have one
freestyle.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to totally freestyle it. Totally.
But hang on, is this open to the public or is this purely for you to stash a bunch of asterisks?
Oh, well, hang on. If the going's good and I get a phone call from, I don't know, Ford, and they say, listen, we've got a cluster of KA pluses that, let's face it, no twat in the world wants, can we throw them your way? Just go, yep, stick on a transporter, I'll be there at 8 a.m. Or another bloke will be. And he'll have the paperwork, he'll be vaping, but he'll point to where you need to dump them off, and we'll look after them, don't you worry. Although,
if they get damaged, this is an outdoor one.
If somebody throws stones at them in the middle of the night, it's not my fault, just so you know.
Wasn't there a story, do you know those two massive old airship hangars at Cardington in Bedfordshire?
Yeah, I've never been to them. I've driven past them, and my son, who's obsessed with Zeppelins and airships, like all 9-year-olds, he really wants to go. He really wants to see an actual airship, and I've sort of tried to kindly point out to him that they don't really exist anymore. I mean, Goodyear have got two, I think, that they commissioned about two or three years ago. Again,
funny enough, my boy, who's six, is quite fascinated by airships, obviously, because he's a little boy. He's almost seven. But he has seen an airship because we were once in America and we saw the Goodyear blimp, or one of them.
Really?
And it was deeply exciting. Maybe, it was the same day we saw a stealth bomber flying.
Really?
Yeah, well,
that's
because
cool.
It was the... there's a thing that happens on, is it New Year's Day in or near Los Angeles, the Rose Bowl parade.
Rose Bowl?
Yeah, it's a massive parade with loads of floats and they're really done up. Like, it makes the kind of, like, I remember when I was a kid there was a thing called the Mobley May Queen and they used to be like basically little tractor trailers being
pulled it's a carnival.
Tractors.
It's a carnival.
Carnival kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, there's one in Taunton where I grew up.
Of course.
It sort of became a byword for just getting really shouty and drinky. And there's a lot of smashed glass. That's what I remember mostly. But also very, very loud music. Like, it's always a song from Greece. Someone's always picked a song from Greece.
This might be a West Country thing, because I think I once went on a stag do to the West Country and there was some kind of mad carnival thing going on in town that weekend, and we saw this guy, incredibly drunk bloke dressed as a ghost or something. And he was spectacularly shit-faced in this pub, like barely able to stand up. And then later in the evening, we went to the only club in town. I can't remember which town it was, but we went to the only club in town, and the drunk ghost was working behind the bar.
He was behind the bar.
He was working there.
He just immediately, you've just another amazing John Peel session, massively pissed ghost.
This is a drunk ghost. That's funny. Someone sent me a message the other day and said, oh, how come you stopped doing John Peel band names on your podcast? And I was like, well, we haven't really. It's like, I think you might mistakenly believe that we sort of plan this stuff, and we don't. And so I just forget that I haven't spotted any. But then I remembered the message yesterday, because I think, like a lot of parents, I sometimes call my kid Monkey or the Monkeys, you know.
Yeah, rat bags, like, that's what I call mine.
And and my daughter was going, I want some toast, Daddy, can I have some toast, please, can I have some toast? And I was like, okay, Toast for Monkey. And I was like, ooh, coming up tonight in the session, we've got three tracks from Toast for Monkey. And I thought that was quite a good
Toast for band name. That's
Toast for Monkey.
Toast for Monkey.
So what were we talking about? Oh yes, no. Anyway,
yeah, so it's carnivals.
WhatsApp conversation. Carnivals. Oh, carnivals. Yeah, carnivals. Yeah, carnivals. Rose Bowl parade in Pasadena, in California. Massive load of floats. We went to see it because we were out there visiting my wife's family around Christmas and New Year. And at one point, it was just like an open top old sort of 1930s car drove past with Chaka Khan in the back. It's
what really the real woman.
Literally, she was every woman, but specifically she was the woman Chaka Khan in the back of like some old Duesenberg or something. It was extraordinary.
What are those people with multiple personalities? When she says, I'm every woman, is that...
schizophrenia.
Yeah, but nobody had pointed it out back
Chaka
in the...
Khan.
Was
Chaka
it 70s Khan. Or something?
Yeah. Anyway.
Chaka Khan and Rufus is an absolute storming track. If I was a low-end DJ, I would put that out most days. It's brilliant. Do you think? It's absolutely brilliant.
Johnny, this is a classical music station. I don't care.
Chaka Khan and Rufus are going out.
Oh, God. I can't even see the original point from where I'm standing, but...
Do you know Chaka Khan used to be good mates with Shere Khan, the tiger from Jungle Book? But
yes.
There was creative differences, so...
And Mr. Khan, my old landlord.
Yes, and Imran Khan, retired cricketer.
Mr. Khan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who lives in, does he still live in exile? I can't remember.
I don't know. Mr. Khan, my old landlord, once called me a silly. I was like, that's quite a good use of the word silly as a noun.
You're
really
a silly.
Yeah. Because I said, can I have my deposit back, please, Mr. Khan, on the phone? And he went, no, I'm afraid you can't. And I sort of got up on my hind legs and went, what? That's outrageous. I've demanded by no, you know. And he went, I'm just messing with you, you silly. Anyway.
Do you think that it was probably better than just calling you a tosser? Wasn't
yeah,
it?
I think he meant tosser, but he was being polite.
Oh, you were anyway, so silly.
So, yes, we saw a stealth bomber on the day of the Pasadena Rose Bowl parade, because the Rose Bowl parade ends in a massive game of American football, which is sort of like kind of sub Super Bowl, but still, as those college type games are, still absolutely massive.
Yeah.
And at the start of the game, they just casually fly a fucking stealth bomber over the stadium.
Bloody
so
hell.
My boy and I were on the balcony of my sister-in-law's old apartment in wherever she used to live, like Burbank area, for people who know that part of California, and over the mountains in the distance, we could see this weird triangle shape sort of keep swooping around, and it was the stealth bomber just killing time before it had to fly in and do the pass over the Rose Bowl Stadium.
Bloody hell, that's so cool.
So cool. Like,
it's cool,
we were
Rich.
Both beside ourselves with excitement. It was ridiculous. Once we'd figured out what it was, we were like, what's that thing over there? And then, yeah, worked it out. Very exciting.
They look very origami, don't they?
Well, they don't. I mean, when you sort of see one at a fair distance away, you know, because it was quite far away, but they're distinctive. As it banked round, you could definitely tell what it was, and it's like, it's quite sinister.
Mm.
If we'd have been sort of in somewhere that was not friends with the United States, and you'd seen that sort of swooping over some distant mountains, you'd have gone, oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Although I have to be honest, I could see it with the naked eyes. It wasn't so fucking stealthy after all, but apart from that, it was impressive.
It's not as sinister as, well, mentioning last week Postman Pat within a Crana plan, just to like, just to take, oh yeah, old Granny Shitface or whatever her name is down the road, she's ordered 13 chapsticks. Yeah, I better just, I better get the, do you know what? Don't worry, Ted, I'll just get the Crana plan out. It won't take long because she lives on the other side of Lake Coniston. So basically, by the time you've warmed the engine up, you've already got there.
Postman Pat's decapitated someone in a fishing boat again.
Early in the morning.
Cold is a Crano plan.
Cold War based technology. Pat unnecessarily overpowers his neighbours.
Pat bats away questions about his links to the Soviets. Yes, anyway, so going back to our original message, which I was going to mention before, we were chatting shit about spin-offs from Harry's Garage, which ended up at the one I think is a winner, Harry's All Night Garage.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Which is sort of, it's still Harry, obviously, because he's the star of the show.
Yeah.
But instead of padding round his barn / car storage facility looking at his lovely old cars,
yeah,
he's been forced to run a 24-hour Texaco station and he's desperately hoping that a lovely Lancia Fulvia or a Ferrari 330 GT will come onto the forecourt to fill up and he'll be able to talk about it. But, of course, that never actually happens.
Oh, no.
So he's just trying to talk about the state of the used, you know, classic car market and things. But he's constantly having to fend off stoners who want to buy jaffa cakes because it's 2 a.m.
Yeah, and angry people who are trying to do a really quick pit stop in the middle of their Just Eat delivery shift. So it's obviously a Micra K11. And they know that they've got 40 seconds to put fuel in. And so whatever it takes, they're putting 40 seconds worth of fuel in and they're just throwing money at the kiosk and running. And obviously Harry's there with his gilet on, just trying to...
But he's still desperately trying to do pieces to camera.
He is, so he's super chilled.
He's sort of going, now, the interesting thing about the Esprit Turbo is that, no, put your card in the tray. Put your card in the tray.
You can't hear me. No, we haven't got. No, I haven't got time for 20 Benson's Hedges. No, no. I'm so sorry.
One of the interesting things about this. Sorry, excuse me a second. He's got to get on the microphone. Pump seven. Put it back in the cradle, wait, then lift it off again. It'll reset.
Oh, yeah, it's always that. I got a bollocking the other night for when I was LPG topping up the Tokyo Cedric taxi.
And Tokyo Cedric.
Yeah, Tokyo Cedric. He's a top mate.
That sounds very different. He sounds like some kind of notorious international diplomat.
Is he
the 1930s?
Is he like Bullet Tooth Tony? He's like Tokyo Cedric. Don't mess with Tokyo Cedric.
Everything's got a little sticky in Siam, sir. Could we ask Tokyo Cedric to step in, perhaps? he's always been very popular around those parts. Smooth things over. Oh. Constantly smokes.
And constantly smokes.
Some kind of elegant hat.
Yeah, and yeah, very very slushy auto. Box extremely slushy, so he walks with a sort of slither because he's got those you know, I'm gonna call them sort of triad spec slip-ons. I don't know what you know, the ones I mean, they look like a sort of Danish pastry on the toe. like a braised plaited pastry. I don't know what, but yeah, you know the bloody things I'm talking about. Chamon.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. If Harry's listening, there you go. You can have that idea for free if you want to expand the franchise.
Harry's All Night Garage is just brilliant. I think that's wonderful because he'll also he'll talk about market trends of confectionery, and he'll say it's just amazing. What's that really mainstream wine? It was on the tip of my tongue.
Jacob's Creek.
Yes, you could just say it's just unbelievable the amount of Jacob's Creek rosé that we sell between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. on a Tuesday. It's incredible. Yeah. So I'm definitely going to be planting more of that as the season goes on. And then...
Harry's All Night Garage, brought to you by King Size Rizzlers.
Well, listen, if Harry...
cheap Liebfrau milk.
If Metcalf can have the all-night garage, you and I are totally having country fire. We're not giving that to anybody. I'm telling you that now, all right?
But there's already a programme called Country File.
Well, just be sort of like Green Lane File. I'm not sure what it'll be called.
Okay.
This week on Green Lane File, Richard buys a Toyota Hilux Surf, which sounds like a cooking pot.
You're so determined for me to buy a Toyota Hilux Surf, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's like,
well, because it does everything that your Defender does, but better, but for $3,000.
Yeah. Oh, well, do you know what? I haven't actually looked up Hilux Surf. Shall I look some up now? Because we'll do like we did last week and just descend into looking up.
It has to be an early one. It has to be chrome bumper. I won't accept Hilux that doesn't have chrome bumpers. It just doesn't feel right.
It's getting a bit specific. I just thought of something else as well. Another franchise we could give to Metcalf for Nout is Harry's UK Garage, in which
he just
spins some classic cuts from the early 2000s with the skippity hoppity sort of beat.
Oh, that sweet like chocolate boy.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, this is Shanks and Bigfoot, and after this, I'll be telling you more about how the Esprit shared a gearbox with the Citroën SM in its early models.
Sweet like chocolate boy. Is he doing all three of these things at once? So he's in the all-night garage. He's playing UK Garage over the tunnel, you know, like when they shout at you for not putting the pump in the back in the right place. And somebody's shouting at him because the contactless doesn't work. Or they've come in and they haven't got a mask on, so he's just got to give them a sort of quiet bollocking. You know, listen, the mask doesn't work on your chin, please.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's brilliant. Harry's All Night UK Garage.
It's an
event.
It's a rich format.
That is an event. You know what? You've got hot import nights in the States, and you've got the whole Fast and Furious night racing thing. Harry's All Night UK Garage, it's just multiple facets. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's spinning the tunes, but also, you know, like those cars and coffee thing. But this is late at night, so it feels a bit edgy. It's got skippity hoppity classic
edgy
UK garage tunes. A bit of Craig David there.
Harry's edgy garage.
Harry's dangerous garage.
Harry's edgy garage. I've just HPI'd this car, but the problem is I HPI'd it after I bought it. Feels a little bit warm to me, so it's going to be a super quick walk round of it before I get rid. Okay, have a look, guys. You can see the bolsters are worn. You can see there's a missing steering column shroud. I think we're going to get rid of this one. Guys, can we just stop filming now? I think we're going to sell this one quick. Okay, cheers, bye.
Harry's trying to palm off foolish eBay purchases on people who come to his all-night garage.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't the upholstery a bit more worn than the mileage would suggest? No. I've so far found one Hilux Surf on Auto Trader, and I've realised, of course, they're probably more a sort of eBay kind of car, aren't they?
You would never buy one on Auto Trader. Because it costs too much to host the car. It's eBay all day.
Oh, I see.
It's eBay all day.
I get you.
You know what I mean?
There's a chrome bumper one here.
Oh.
Which has got all manner of shit on it. Winch, lift. Oh, it's a spares or repair. I was going to say it's £1,500, so...
I'll take it.
I don't actually want one of these. I don't know why I'm browsing them. Do you want one?
I've nearly bought several Hilux Surfs. I don't need one. When I was... I'll tell you the reason why. I've just remembered. When I was racing the electric drag car, I needed a car to tow the trailer with. And we had, at the time, we had the Chrysler 300 diesel. But that was the family car. So if I nicked it for a long weekend, I used to get it in the neck from my wife because it was her car, really. So I thought, should I just buy just a real cheap kind of shit box that can tow? And I couldn't bring myself to go down the Range Rover route. And I couldn't bring myself to go down the van route because I don't know, there's connotations. So I thought I'd go Hilux Surf. I like the Surf because it's basically an estate car that's high up. And but they're all auto. I couldn't find any manual Hilux Surf. I don't know if they even exist.
Well, because they're all Japanese imports, aren't they? And I guess
yeah, they're all Japanese imports with the funny.
Japan tend to favour an automatico.
Yeah, and they've got that little funny mirror, extra wing mirror on the corner of the wing, and so it was a toss up between one of those or the boxy Cherokee, which you had, which I've still never bought. I've never owned one. I still kind of fancy it.
And coming up now is an old EP I found by Shitters That Can Tow, which is.
Talking of Shitters That Can Tow, funny enough, just before we started this blimmin' podcast, I was looking through Instagram, and there's an Instagram account called, I think, Trophy Burrow or Burrow, which is quite funny. It's like off-roading kind of dudes, and I didn't know there's a sort of a saying called stock mobbing. Have you heard of stock mobbing?
No.
Well, I hadn't up until about half a year ago. It's basically just doing really reckless things with a totally standard car, from what I can gather.
Oh, I see.
So if you're stock mobbing, basically what it means, you know, going and buying a really old hanging Jeep Grand Cherokee and seeing how high you can jump it in the desert.
Right.
That's stock mobbing.
So I have seen these things on YouTube and such, like clips of somebody, inevitably they're like in one of those old Saturns from the 90s, aren't they, and they're attempting to do a full like Man with Golden Gun barrel jump.
Yes,
barrel
broken bridge jump.
You just go, oh my saints, someone's gonna get hurt.
That's right.
I mean, they're sort
or
of
a Chevy Beretta
fascinating
trying to do 40 miles an hour in reverse.
The Chevy Beretta seems to be perhaps disproportionately represented in this. I feel like I've seen a lot of Chevy Beretta clips. Or maybe it's the same Chevy Beretta that just won't die, but it is, yeah.
Chevy Beretta.
Pretty extraordinary.
I know. You might not have known it. It's a bit like talking to older people about drifting. They've done it, but they didn't know it was called drifting. Because, of course, back in the olden days, it was just, I don't know, correcting or... turning into the skid or four wheel
yes.
or
corrective lock,
yeah, something like that, opposite lock. Have you ever done any stock mobbing without really knowing you have, Rich? I'm sure you have in the Top Gear days.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I feel like I've worked for years on a show that's almost made it its business to do that weekly, but
weekly stock mobbing.
Have I done any personally? Oh, well, we did some grass racing. There's an item where the presenters bought large sort of 80s coupes. So
I watched
James
that.
Next JS.
Was that autocross or was it?
No, it wasn't autocross. We just borrowed a field and drove round and round it. But it was, Jeremy had a Toyota, had a Mitsubishi Starion.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, because I remember this was years ago, and I rang his house like. It seems weird now, but I, for some reason, sometimes I wanted to speak to him and I knew he was at home. I just ring his house, and I rang his house because I need to talk to him or something. And his wife answered, and she went, "No, he's gone out to play in his Starion."
Really?
Because it had just been delivered. Yeah, the way we used to do it was that we'd sort of, the presenters would just find cars online that they
fancied.
You know, they knew what the item was going to be. We'd have sort of prepared that, and then, or the office would find a list of likely candidates and they'd go, "I'd like that one, please." But then, if we could, we would then, because they couldn't really go and buy the cars, because they back in the very early days, like, I think James did a couple of times, but they couldn't really, it wasn't so easy because they were off the telly and that. So
yeah, you've got to do the deal before they see your face.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So then the researcher would go and collect the car, but then the presenters would either come to the office and get it, or we would drop it off at their house. And when Jeremy's Starion was dropped off, he was so excited that he, in the words of his then wife, has gone out to play in his Starion. The voice she said it in was that sort of, you know, it's a voice that I'm sure our wives
hell.
Could easily replicate, that kind of weary... I live with a man-child and he's gone off to play.
Oh, do you get accused of being a man-child?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I do, sadly, frequently, I feel. I think it is quite frequently.
Yeah.
He says opening another San Miguel. Hang on.
I'm just, you know what I'm doing? I'm just scrolling now. I've gone back to Auto Trader just to close out that window, and I've realised that if I do that thing where it's still got Toyota put in, and then I go to select model, the number of different models that comes up for Toyota is insane, because, of course, there are lots of Japanese imports in this country. So as well as you usually get, you know, I go Corolla, whatever else we've sold in this country. But then
you've got all the imports.
Hell's a Granvia? It's a van.
Yeah.
So it's a sort of van.
We've had this before, because remember there's Previas and then there's imported Previas, which are called
Estimas. An enema.
Well, is it Emina or not Enema? Emina. I think it's Emina. I want to say E-M-I-N-A, Toyota, E-M-I-N-A. Yeah, Toyota Estima Emina. Is that really what it's called? Oh my gosh, let's have a look.
That doesn't sound right, does it?
Yeah, it is.
Toyota Isis.
What?
That's another one of these. It's a van with a... Oh my God.
A Toyota Isis?
Toyota Isis, but this is one of these ones, you know, like all the Japanese car makers, or a lot of them seem to make cars, like factory cars that are suitable for wheelchair users. So they have the seat will actually sort of swing out on an arm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you can go from your wheelchair to the car seat, and it'll then swing you in.
I had it on the London taxi the other week when I borrowed one of those. And my daughter thought it was brilliant that she opened the side door and then the chair would swing out. You know, it's the perfect for when you're trying to film cars moving along. The cameraman
like a tracking seat.
Yes, it is. It just swivels you out and puts you right in the danger of the road. And then you can get the shot and then swivel back in again. It's awesome. Listen, who needs to commission some sort of high-end falconry vehicle when you could just use a disabled access chair and then you just sit on that, strap yourself in, get your shotgun loaded, boom, swing out, take a shot, swing back in. Damn.
No, hang on, that's not falconry. They're not shooting.
Oh, no, you don't do. Sorry, I've got the sport completely wrong.
You're thinking of, like, pheasant shooting.
I'm thinking of shooting egg or grice or something like that.
Grice.
Grice shooting.
Shoot some grice.
There is a Toyota Estima Emina.
That's
just a tongue twister.
I'm just scrolling down this list, and it's like there's so much that I haven't heard of.
Estima Emina.
Estima Emina.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was a Beach Boys song that I found quite disappointing.
Cocomone.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah, I think we mentioned this last time, didn't we, about the Beach Boys
Isn't
basically
it
being...
bad? Is that a bad Beach Boys song? Because there's a lot of Beach Boys I love.
I don't mind it, but it's not up there with, I don't know, God Only Knows or something as absolute stone-cold Beach Boys classic.
Yeah.
But it is. It's, I don't know, it's all right.
It's no Lil Deuce Coupe, is it? Let's face
Well,
I wonder if the Beach Boys did the equivalent of Lil Deuce Coupe today, what would it be? What would be classed as a...
I have a problem with that influencer kind of car.
Now, I'm not breaking, babe, so don't put me down. But I've got a brand new supercar on HP, and I'm going to wrap it. I'm going to change the colour of the calipers. Done.
A little douche coupe.
Oh, there we go. Oh, my gosh.
You see, I have a problem with that song, is that because deuce... means two, doesn't it?
No.
And I think drop a deuce in American slang can mean going for a number two.
Can it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like a deuce. Just let me know if it's from a movie, isn't it? So just let me know if you're going to drop a deuce.
I didn't know that.
It's in a film. And
if any Americans are listening, can you confirm this?
Yeah, maybe someone could...
Someone who's informed in this deuce-related... Because I just think of it as 40-40 in tennis.
Slang. Oh, yeah, it is.
But they also refer to Chevy... Like, in gangster world, it's 6-deuce Impala, which I thought was a 64 Impala, but maybe it's a 6-2. Because a 62 is an iconic shape, too. 62, 63, 64 are the Impalas to have.
All right, I've just done Urban Dictionary. Fall back in these things. Drop a deuce. Mm-hmm. Pinch a loaf, take a dump.
Of course, pinch a loaf. What a wonderful term. Yeah.
You know how Urban Dictionary sometimes they like to, then they'll put the word into, or the phrase into context with a sentence.
Yes.
And the context here in this first entry is, I just dropped a massive deuce in the urinal.
In the urinal?
I know.
Nobody would do that. Nobody would do
it. Oh, I don't know. Someone once did it in the loos near an office that I worked in, like the nearest loo.
No, he didn't.
One of my colleagues went in one morning. He got in early, which is all the more weird. And there was just a deuce dropped into one of the urinals. He had to ring, building services.
Why would anyone make a cable in the trough for the wee?
Like, also, because it's like there were two cubicles and there were also other loos nearby. It was a well-stocked building, shitter-wise.
Or did someone go in?
That was obviously a statement. That was a poo statement.
Wasn't it?
What were they saying?
I don't know what they were saying. They were making a chocolate eel. what's it all about? You can't go to so much effort to shit in a urinal.
I'll be honest, that was my first thought. My thought was, now logistically, that is challenging.
Oh, it's too much, Rich. It's too much.
Really, because I could see that you would attempt such a thing, but actually, you would end up just dry. It would fall into your own underwear.
Stop it.
I think
Stop
the very
it.
Definition of what you might call a self-own.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, so there we go. What were we talking about? Does it matter?
I don't know. We're talking about...
You sent me another message last week and said, you said you were watching Star Wars. Remember to ask you about that.
Oh, sugar, did I?
I love reading your WhatsApp messages back to you
because I have no recollection of
it's
them.
It's like there's another Johnny Smith in my phone that I'm just getting messages
ask
from.
Ask me about. Well, I watched Star Wars with the kids because they wanted to. Oh, I know what it is. Guys, it's just flicked back into my head. I've only had 1.25 San Miguel's. When I got dragged to the cinema to watch the first Star Wars when it had been digitally re-released and remastered, which I think was about 21 years ago, would it have been? About that?
Something like that.
Was it about the Millennium era?
I think so. Yeah.
I went back to Somerset to see my friends and stuff for the weekend, and a few of them had booked tickets to go and watch it because obviously it was a big deal. I didn't particularly have the heart to tell them I wasn't interested in Star Wars. And I was just happy to see them because I hadn't seen the boys for a while. It was just nice to catch up. However, I remember within about 20 or 25 minutes of being in the cinema, I'd completely fallen asleep. And this time around, when the kids watched it last week, not last week, but 3 nights ago, I think I managed about 45 minutes in and then I fell completely to sleep. So I don't have any interest in Star Wars. I can't get interested in it. There's no car chases in it. I think it's actually way more lame than people realise. However, all right, and this is the crucial thing. The reason why I wrote that WhatsApp is not because I was going to slag Star Wars off, because I know I'm going to get shot down because I'm very much in the minority and that's fine. However, going to see that digitally remastered Star Wars thing because I wanted to drink, or maybe we'd gone to the cinema, the pub first, which perhaps is why I fell asleep in the cinema. It's my mate Greasy Mark, who worked at a scrapyard in Somerset. Greasy Mark said, "I'll pick you up in the van," and then my other friend looked at me, and went, "Oh yeah, okay, if you have to," and I thought, "What's the van? I don't remember the van." He pulled up in the van and it was a Mark II Escort van, which had been hand-painted black hammerite. And it turns out that it was going to be weighed in the scrapyard and he couldn't bear to. This was a while ago now. He couldn't bear to, so he put it to one side, built an engine out of a load of scrap, which was a Pinto, like a hot Pinto, on some very large carbs. He put two... like futons. He had two futons in the back. You know, the sort of thing that you leave out for the dustman? The ones that are always in your kind of first house share. Like two of those.
Yes, yeah.
And I remember going to Star Wars, having the most fun, going sideways around every roundabout because it was wet, in this Pinto-engined, hand-painted kind of kidnap wagon. Flat out. And then all I remember now whenever I see Star Wars is that it is not as much fun as driving in Greasy Mark's van. That's it. So that I think that's why I might have WhatsApped you to say, I just found it underwhelming, Rich. I feel like we should move on because I'm worried that people are going to be like, you can't say that about Star Wars, it's so good. It's just not my bag.
You've just reminded me of my mate Duncan, who has never seen Reservoir Dogs, because when we went to the cinema to see it, Duncan is very squeamish about blood. And if you remember about that film, there's quite a bit of blood.
Mm.
Actually, no, am I thinking of Pulp Fiction? No, it was Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs, there's ear cutting and there's...
yeah, but hang on, which is the one... That's terrible, I can't remember this now. Which is the one where he's in the back of the car and he's writhing around?
That's Pulp Fiction. Because he goes over a speed ramp, doesn't he, and shoots somebody.
No, that's different. That's when they go to get Harvey Keitel with his NSX, comes out and gives them some really, really bog-standard obvious advice about cleaning up the car.
What, like just using really good antibacterial, wearing gloves?
Just give it a good wipe. Just give it a good wipe.
I tell you what.
Cover it with rugs.
The Harvey Keitel character, is he called the Wolf?
Yeah. Winston Wolf, isn't it?
Do you know, like, I love the fact that there's been those TV adverts, insurance adverts with him featured in it. But of course, he doesn't drive an NSX because I think when those adverts started out, the NSX hadn't made a comeback. So he drives a GT86, and I feel like, oh, that's such a B-side NSX, isn't it?
Yeah. Also, there's something that's irritating only if you're a real car nerd in one of those ads, which is that they. The back plate has been sort of crudely bolted to the bottom of the back bumper rather than where it should be between the back lights.
Yeah.
And I think they did it purely because they wanted the shot to start sort of lower shot, neatly framed on the plate. So it's one of those ones where classically
it just looks like
some kind of director wank dictates something else that makes it wrong. And and then the car drives away and it's like you can see that the plate's in the wrong place and you just go, eh.
So it just looks like a sort of hastily imported GT86, of which actually went off sale. Was it this week? I think it... Did it officially...
Last week, or the week before, yeah.
Yeah, last week.
I think they stopped making it 2 or 3 weeks ago, yeah. So maybe even more, but...
So I think
there is a new one coming, though, isn't there?
I think there is, yeah. And so should we dedicate this podcast to the GT86? Do you feel like we should do that? I'm not going to dedicate it to the BRZ.
Why not?
Because it shouldn't have ever happened. I don't. Well, there's no point
to that
car. The
GT86 wouldn't have happened, surely, because they had to sort of have the
Subaru just
hand-holding.
Subaru just shouldn't have done it. It was a more expensive car, and it didn't look as good. So what was the point in that? GT86 is way nicer. It's just a bit more simple and cheaper. It's just a win-win.
Was it cheaper?
It was cheaper.
Was it?
The Toyota was cheaper than the... it was in the UK. It might not have been in the States.
Yeah.
But
I don't remember. It was a nice car, that, though, wasn't it?
It was a nice car, although... Oh, it was a feel-good car. It was engaging. Old-school driving vibes. And I think that all ticked lots of boxes. And I like the layout of the interior from memory. I quite like the way the controls and the cabin were. But I always... found it very confusing that they would choose the flat four Scooblaroo engine as the partner for the drivetrain, but never, ever, ever offer a turbo option. Because all Subaru flat fours without turbos are boring. So why would you then put the flat four in that and never, ever have the option of a turbo? That just seems like a massive trip up and land on your face. To me,
I suppose.
Or am I just getting a bit Star Wars about it?
Well, it would have changed the character of the car, wouldn't it? So,
But modern turbos are good.
Yes, they are. I mean, I suppose.
Okay, the engine sounds different. The induction sound is different.
I mean, it's more than just sort of.
You don't get the inhalation.
They wanted it to feel sort of light on its feet and revvy, and you don't need to rev a turbo engine because it's giving you the torque lower down.
Well, you could have a lying rev counter. Well, you just have a lying rev counter. It's not against the law.
I remember that's the one. The GT86 had this feature where it would beep as you got towards the red line. But you could go into the...
Oh, me.
Yeah, and it was just a beep, single beep, I think, from memory. But you could go into the settings and move the point at which it beeped. And you could move it, like, down to sort of 2,000 revs or something.
Could 3, you?
3,000. Yeah, so I was sitting in traffic, and I think you could only do it when you were stopped. So I moved it as I was sitting at some traffic lights. Then we set off. It's like every... gear shift. It was like beep. Beep. No, I don't want it to stop beeping. We're only doing 2,500 reps. Sure. I couldn't switch it again until we stopped.
That's like a sort of.
I just remember going, "You idiot! Why have you done that to yourself?"
That's like a rough sex safe word, isn't it? So the GT86 had its own rough sex safe word, which was the beep.
Do you know? Since I'm still on a Toyota. Setting on Auto Trader.
Just
look for GT86s. And they're sort of the cheapest one on here at the moment is $8,000.
Wow.
And I sort of feel like I thought they'd have been cheaper because they've been out for ages. This is a 2012 car and it's got 111,000 miles on it.
Well, that's born to drift, isn't it? That's going to end up stripped out on a track near you.
I suppose so. It's got some aftermarket wheels on it that look too big, they're too wide, they're standing proud of the arches. I don't think I would buy this car even for $8,000. Well, I mean, $8,000 still seems like quite a lot to me, but yeah, I'm not enjoying this. It's been monkeyed with, I think. Let's have a look at the inside. Yeah,
I think they are going to be classics. I know they've already got a good following, but
haven't they? But that's the thing. If you want one, you want one. That you kind of you know. If you're not interested, you're never going to sort of become interested in them. I think
no,
they're just sort of there, aren't they? There's another one for just over £8,000 that looks a bit more decent, and then there's a couple of cat. There's a cat S one and a cat C one. And then you're into the $9,000. So they're quite. I mean, they were not mega pricey new, were they? I think you could get one for like 22 or something.
Yeah,
when they came out. So, and these are all 2012 cars. So, they sort of held their value.
Maybe it's time to buy an early one. I have to say, you've just reminded me the rev counter in my Dodge, which is aftermarket. It's a Mallory, I think. You have a shift light.
A Penny Mallory?
Yeah, it's Penny Mallory. She makes fantastic tacos, which is not a John Peel session, I'm pretty sure.
fantastic taco.
But yeah, you again, there's a little knob which you can turn to adjust the rev limit for cars that are way more powerful than my Dodge. But it has a light as well. So I sometimes, when I'm bored, I turn the shift light to like 2,200 RPM, so it's just constantly coming on. So it feels like if you were maybe, it's like watching Fast and Furious in mute, so you can't hear how low revving the engine is because I'm not really doing any. I'm sort of taxi driver gear changes, as my brother calls it. Have you ever noticed how quickly a taxi driver will shift from first to second when they're pulling away?
Incredible.
I mean, the car is bogging so badly; the engine mounts are just twisting like gummy bears. Poor thing.
Just for completeness, I've looked up.
You're still on Toyota.
No, I've moved on to BRZs now. And the cheapest BRZ is £8,900, and it has some weird aftermarket wheels on it, and it's Category S. So
it's just had a smash.
What has happened to it here? It's had four owners. It's only got 24,000 miles on it, though.
Four owners and 24,000 miles. I smell a dirty rat.
Yeah, that doesn't...
Don't you? What have they all done? Yeah, just stood at it and touched themselves whilst polishing it? Come on, what's happened?
So, I don't know.
What's the story?
It's whiffy, isn't it? And then the next one is 11,395 pints, so it's quite a jump there.
So they're not bargain basement, despite the fact they're nine years old.
The Subarus are really expensive, because this is like a 2013 BRZ. Is £11,395, and the next one is £14,994, basically £15,000 for a 14 plate car. Crikey!
I've got a question for you. if you had to, this is a sort of 90s, we're going back to Harry's UK garage here. Actually, we're going a bit.
Bam, bam, hello.
Bam, bam, bam. We're going back to before that, probably. If you had to, would you wear a Kenwood or a Technics jacket? And the, as a bonus ball thrown in, if you had to, you could choose, if you wanted to, a 555 blue puffer jacket. If you had to go out in one of them, like on a big night out, fat night out, you go Kenwood Systems, Technics, or 555. We're going to choose.
I'm going Technics.
Are you?
Yeah. What? You sound surprised.
I like that. Yeah. I don't know. I had a little hunch that you'd go for a 555, but I think you've picked right. I'd like the Technics one. Okay. And if you, as soon as you put the jacket on, really, what should you be driving?
A Technics jacket.
Yeah. You've put your Technics jacket on. Okay. You've probably got a couple of cheeky CDs in the inside pocket, maybe some Rizzlers, but we won't go there. What are you going to drive?
Would a DJ wear a Technics jacket? But I sort of feel like they wouldn't.
They might go naff-naff. Would they go naff-naff? Or would they go...
I think that someone who wears a Technics jacket wants to be a professional DJ, but is not.
And did Technics ever officially make the jackets? That was one question I always thought. Did someone just start showing them out? Because Technics might have made more money from puffer jackets than actual turntables. In the same way that there could be a statistic somewhere that Kenwood are like, between 1991 and 1994, we made three times more money from polyester jackets than we did food mixers, audio equipment.
Isn't there a real example of this? There's a company that made a lot more from the sort of spin-off, the merch kind of thing, and I can't remember what it is. Maybe I'm imagining.
It's probably Ferrari.
I mean, I don't know.
Ferrari, I mean, they rebadge anything, don't they, really?
Yeah,
some appalling
stuff.
Are they still
doing that? Because I haven't looked recently. I sort of imagine that they are.
In the UK, I don't know how many people would buy that kind of stuff, but in certain other countries, I'm sure there's some really thick sort of like paedophile laptops that are rebadged. I don't know.
They did used to do like big red laptops.
They did. Yeah. By the way, when I say paedophile, I don't really mean that. I mean just probably pervert laptops. But
pest laptops, yeah.
That's exactly what
they're... Pesty laptops.
Pesty laptops, yeah.
I just went on eBay and tried to look up Technics bomber jackets.
Oh, did you? Can you still buy them?
No, it doesn't look like it. It's a bit disappointing, isn't it?
Can I just say, if we ever do any merchandise, Rich, can we do a Smith & Sniff Technics jacket? Just amazing.
Hold the phone.
Have you found one?
They sell them on Amazon. Oh no, wait, they don't. It's sold out. Currently unavailable.
Oh, piss off.
Like 2002.
You just did what DJs do. You take the crowd up and then you drop them straight down. And that's what
did. Yeah, that was a drop right there. Oh my God. It's absolutely
Technics
classic.
Jacket.
I'm going to ask you, what colour do you think the lining is on this Technics jacket?
Lime green.
Oh, it's good.
Is it?
Acidic orange.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, we're getting close. Classic. Technics jacket.
It's a satin bomber jacket. It claims to be made to military specifications because...
What do you mean?
I've met a few people who've been in the military over the years, and I know they always say that they want Technics written across the back of their fatigues.
They're out, you know, doing those really intense survival war games where you're camping rougher for 8 days. And you know, nothing but like a sachet of soup in your back pocket, and you know, a tub of butter or something you've got. and your military issue is white Reebok classics and a black Technics jacket, and you're out.
Situation's getting pretty bad, sir. Okay, send in the Technics squad.
I've got a hopeful feeling that somebody listening to this will know somebody that has a Technics jacket, or might know someone that worked at Technics or works at Technics. And I want some statistics of sales.
But what if...
Did they really sell the jackets, or not.
Can I just read you the reviews for this yes, please. Sadly now unavailable jacket on Amazon? The first review, 5 stars. And it's from a user called Sony. And they say, really good price for a genuine DMC jacket. Arrived in perfect condition, regular fit, and nice Technic stitching on the back.
Is that true?
Yeah, hang on, it gets better. Last sentence is, I am a DJ, and this is definitely not a fake.
I am a DJ?
Yeah, is DJs can spot fake clothing from miles off.
Okay, I mean, I'm a little bit shocked. Is this a what they call like a college frat jacket, you know, with the white sleeves and the black body, or is
it's
a proper puffer?
It's all silken. It's silken
puffer. It's just a real deal.
They refer to it as a flight jacket, but I think you know the type. You go, oh, it's one of those. Silky,
yes.
Bomber style. Review 2, 4 stars, as expected. It goes on to say, classic bomber jacket, waterproof and very warm.
Well, because he's been out. I mean, you imagine a 2-day rave. You've clearly not taken enough food and drink, and definitely not enough clothing. It's just you, the trainers, the bomber jacket, the keys to your BMW E36, and that's it. And maybe a few mysterious pills that you found. Oh, halcyon days. I feel like we should do a tombola, or a tombola of 90s jackets. And you roll a tombola.
Before we get too excited about the Technics jacket, there's one final review here, and it's a little more damning.
Oh.
It's from LS Larkham, is the user.
He sounds like a DJ.
LS Larkham.
Yeah, he's LTJ Bookham's nemesis.
Immediately after the show, we'll have LS Larkham over here taking you through the night with some UK garage hits. LS Larkham has given the Technics bomber jacket just 2 stars. Now, I'm going to read their review in full, okay, so just bear with me a minute.
I nearly blew out San Miguel all over the mic.
Okay, LS Larkham's review for the Technics bomber jacket. Okay.
Is that it?
That's what it says.
It just says okay. How many stars?
2.
Oh, shit.
Now, LS Larkham's 2-star review is flagged as a verified purchase. Different, who said it was a classic bomber jacket.
Yes.
4-star review, verified purchase. Mr. Sony, who says, I am a DJ and this is definitely not a fake. I've just realised it doesn't say definitely. It says, I am a DJ and this is defiantly not a fake. So changes the meaning slightly.
Defiantly.
But he or she is not a verified purchaser. So they could be talking shit. They could just try to talk up the jacket for some reason. And then there's a review in Italian as well, which I can't read because I don't speak Italian. But I can translate it to English. Look, they think of everything. But I'm sure it's very...
Can I ask you an honest question? Review. If someone our age... I know fashion is cyclical. If there's a lot of 90s which is back, I know late 80s, early 90s, a lot of rave era music getting another look in. But if I was to go out and buy a Technics jacket tomorrow and just wear it, would you rip the piss out of me, or would you go, that's actually all right because it's been
say no, because I want you to do this.
It's basically 30 years. It's a 30 year thing, isn't it?
Could be quite life-changing in a way.
Mm.
I mean, bear in mind that it's sort of like when they go, bear in mind the value of your home may go down as well as up. That life-changing can mean for the worse.
Oh, yes, it can. When they
winning £2 million, life-changing. Losing a foot, also life-changing.
Yes.
It's not necessarily, you don't know which direction the life-changing is going in. But try the Technics jacket and we'll find out.
Were there any other... popular jackets around that era, the early 90s halcyon rave time? I mean, I used to see so many. I remember a couple of my mates had Kenwoods, a couple of my mates had Technics, one of them had a Dreddy jacket. I never had any of the jackets.
No,
but I went big in the late 80s with the Campri ski jacket. I had a Campri ski and it was amazing. Do you remember those? They were amazing. Oh, great jacket. I felt so proud of it. I used to put the Campri ski on and get my radio control monster beetle out, blast it up and down the street or take it to local park. Had the fluorescent body shell on, had the fluorescent sleeves on the Campri ski. I mean, magical days. Pre-internet, brilliant.
I could talk about jackets all day, but
yes,
I
yes,
think
you
we probably
could.
Should sort of wrap this up. I mean, if you do have any reminiscences about
Technics
jackets we've known and loved, particularly Technics ones, or if you have a Technics jacket that you would like to sell to Johnny, then please do get in touch, smithandsniff@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And if you're feeling generous, pop to our Patreon, where you can also message us offers of various
can you pay, pay
items
us,
from the
please
from the noughties.
Pay us in jackets, but we only accept
jackets,
nothing after 1996.
Except a jacket. In the meantime, I have three things to tell you. One, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Late Break Show and has many interesting videos upon it. Two, I'm trying to hawk various books. One of them's called Boring Car Trivia Volume 2 by Sniff Petrol, available exclusively on Amazon as an ebook or a paperback. And three, popular DIY store B&Q stands for Block and Quayle, named after founders Richard Block and David Quayle.
I didn't know that.
But you do now.
Wow, yeah, I do know that now. That's brilliant. B&Q it.
All right, well.
Massive. I was a bigger fan of Homebase. Maybe they should set up some competing jackets.
Fanned by Steve Home and Chris Base.
Yes.
Anyway, well, that's that then, isn't it? Thank you ever so much for listening, and we will be speaking more of this sort of thing same time next week. Until then, goodbye.
Bye-bye. I like the bass, like the buttery biscuit bass. I can imagine he probably has a Kenwood jacket.